The reading is Luke 5, verses 12 to 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Okay, now I've got some questions. So close the Bibles for now, to see if you're paying attention. And I've got some Haribo to get rid of. You know, it's the last family service for a while, so this will just sit on my desk and it'll be temptation for me. So, okay, so here's a question. What was the reference that Ian just read to us? Whereabouts in the Bible was it? Okay, let's just say, you are very, people are very bad at shouting out here. So just say, if you want to, you know, put your hand up and we won't have loads of shouting out. But yeah, I just said it. Yeah, Jill. Oh, well done. Well done, that was good. Okay, so that's a really good start. Luke 5, 12 to 16. Okay, so Jesus is in one of the towns. Who comes along? There he is, he's in one of the towns. Who comes along to him? Is that Isaiah got his hand up there? Who comes out to him? Do you know?
The man with leprosy.
Yeah, the man with leprosy. Oh, well done. Oh, well done, yeah. Man with leprosy. Let me tell you about leprosy. The word leprosy used in the Bible for various skin diseases, and not just what we think of leprosy these days, which is Hansen's disease. So Hansen's disease is, oh, it's a terrible disease. There is a cure for it now. The cure came in the 1980s, I think. And people still suffer from it all over the world, in particularly in poor countries. So here's a lady, I think, in India. And what Hansen's disease does, it's like an infection that affects the nerves and the skin and the eyes and the nose. And if it's left untreated, then the nerve damage can result in crippling of hands and feet, and even like blindness and the loss of the nose. And it's absolutely horrible. And maybe this man had that. We don't know. Maybe he had that. Or perhaps he had something like this. Pustulous psoriasis. And there's no cure for that. That's a horrible thing to have. It's very painful. And can affect all over your body. There's a picture of hands as well. And maybe that man who comes up to Jesus has that kind of skin disease. Whatever disease this man had, it was terrible, because we're told he was covered in it. Covered. It's all over him. It's terrible. The worst thing about leprosy, though, wasn't what it did to your body, it's what it did to your life. It cut you off from your friends and your family, from community life. So the Old Testament law had very clear rules on what happened to people diagnosed with leprosy. So Leviticus 13, you can check it later. What happened is you had to leave your home, you had to leave your family, you had to leave your community, and you could never come back. You had to go out to the lonely place where no one else lived. And you were separated from everybody. And unless the priest examined you and said you were clean and you could come back in, then you could never come back. Never. And what happened was you lived alone outside the camp, outside the town, the community, and you had to keep your distance from people. So you had to wear your clothes a certain way. They had to be torn, and you had to have your hair hanging loose so that if people saw you, they knew you were a leper. And if anyone came close to you, what you had to do is you had to get your hand and cover the bottom part of your face, your top hand over your top lip, and you had to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that people stayed away from you. absolutely horrendous. And you couldn't touch people, and they couldn't touch you, because if you touched them, or they touched you, they would become unclean. They'd catch the contamination. So it meant no coming to the synagogue. So you couldn't go and read the Bible and pray with other people. Couldn't go to the temple. Couldn't go to the local coffee shop for a coffee with friends. No hugs from family. No hugs. No hanging out with your friends. Oh, terrible. Horrific. So much worse than chickenpox, that, isn't it? How do you think a person with leprosy would feel? They'd feel very, very, very lonely, wouldn't they? So lonely. It's like a death sentence to contract leprosy. It's like a living death. That's how the Jews in Bible times saw it, actually. It was a living death. And so to be healed of leprosy was like being raised to new life. So that's leprosy, and that's this poor man. Now, when he saw Jesus, what did he do? What did he do when he saw Jesus? Remember in the story? Lauren? He fell down with his face to the ground in front of Jesus. You're right. He did. Yeah. And he begged. So what does he? So he's falling on his face in front of Jesus. And what does he beg? What does he beg? Yeah, Winter, you think you know, yeah? Yeah, he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean, doesn't he? He wants to be clean. Yeah, he wants to be clean. So that's what he asks. He must have seen Jesus from a distance, maybe doing some of his miracles that we've been looking at in recent weeks. Or maybe he's heard that Jesus is a man of great power. Anyway, this man is convinced that Jesus can clean him, isn't he? Absolutely convinced that Jesus can do it. Question is Jesus willing? Will Jesus want to? What will Jesus do? I mean, this man, he's breaking the quarantine. He shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be in the town. He should be outside. He should be shouting, unclean, unclean, stay away. But actually, he's come right to Jesus. What will Jesus do? Will Jesus be angry? Will Jesus send him away? Will Jesus turn away? What does Jesus do? Jeff?
He touches him.
Touches him. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot. Yeah, you wanted some of these, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah, he touches him. Just imagine the people. There's probably a crowd of people there, kind of probably standing back in horror, as Jesus kind of reaches out to this man. What's he going to do? He's going to touch him. He's not going to touch him, surely. And he touches him. Touches him. Jesus does the unthinkable. He touches the untouchable. Just imagine what that touch must have meant to that man. How long is it since he's been touched? Well, we're not told, but the fact that he's actually covered in this thing suggests he's had it for a long time. And could have been years, couldn't it? Months, maybe years since he's been touched, and now he's touched. No one else would touch him. No one would touch him. But Jesus does. What compassion. Amazing. So Jesus touches him. That's the first thing he does. Thanks, Jeff. And what happens next? What does Jesus say? Donald, your hand went up first. He says, I am willing. Be clean. Be clean. I am willing. Be clean. So Jesus isn't angry with him. He doesn't tell him to go away. Jesus doesn't turn away. Jesus wants to help him. And what happens next? What happens? Jesus says, I'm willing, be clean, and he's healed. He's healed. When? Next week or down 6 weeks down the line? Immediately. Immediately. He just goes immediately. And that's what we've seen, isn't it, with Jesus' healings. Jesus speaks and it happens. It's just like those unclean spirits that Jesus commanded to come out of people. They did in Luke 4. And you remember Simon Peter's mother-in-law? She was ill in bed with flu, a terrible fever. And Jesus rebukes the fever and she's up and running straight away, immediately. That's the power of Jesus, isn't it? So no one would touch the leper, but Jesus does. What compassion. No one could heal him, but Jesus can and does. What power. See those two things together, compassion, pity, and power. That's Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. Absolutely wonderful. Imagine how that man felt. He's healed. All that kind of horrible stuff on his body has gone. And his feeling has come back. It's like health has shot through his whole body. He can feel. He can feel his skin, and it feels like it's as soft as a newborn baby. And he can live again. He can go back to his family again. He can go back to the community again, back to the synagogue again. He can go back to the temple again. He can do all these things again. Wonderful. But not yet. There's something he's got to do first. And this is the bit of the story that is often overlooked, but it's really important for us. Jesus tells him to do something. What does he tell him to do? You remember? Where's he telling him to go? Who wants?
He tells him to go and see the priest.
Go and see the priest. Yeah. And what next? You've got to see the priest. What next? What's the priest going to do? Donald?
Tell him to have the purification that is required by Moses.
Yes. Yeah. And how does that purification come by? That's exactly right. So he's going to have the cleansing that's been commanded through the law of Moses. That's the Old Testament law. And it happens by a word. Offer the sacrifices. Offer the sacrifices. And this is so important for us. The man's, his leprosy is gone, but he's still got to go and offer the sacrifices. And that's interesting, because it's telling us that there's something more going on here than just a skin disease. So the cleansing sacrifices are all to do with sin being taken away, sin being forgiven. So there's more to the separation than public health interests. There's more to this disease than physical. Do you notice that the leper doesn't ask Jesus to make him well? He asks him to make him clean. And the word unclean was used by Luke to describe the impure spirits in the previous chapter. So he's used that word. So he's got this clean, unclean language going on. And that tells us it's much more than physical disease. This is all to do with infection with sin and evil. And in the Old Testament, God wanted leprosy on the outside of a person to be a visible reminder to the people of the disease that was on the inside. Not just of lepers, but of all of them. A disease on the inside of every single person. A disease we all have, and that's our sin. Our rejection of God's loving rule, our refusal to let him rule us, our rebellion against that, our desire to be God, our attempt to be God, to be number one. That's sin. And we're full of it, the Bible says. That's what Peter said last week, wasn't it? Remember the fisherman? He says, I am a sinful man. Sinful. And that's us. Sinful. We're full of it. We're covered from head to toe with this disease. It infects every single part of us. And God wanted them in the Old Testament. He wants us to see how serious sin is. Our sin makes us dirty in God's eyes. God is so good. He is holy. And because he's so good, he will condemn sin. He will punish it. And that means being shut out of God's kingdom. That means that unless we're cleaned up of our sin, then we'll end up being cut off from God forever. We'll end up outside God's kingdom. We'll end up in the loneliest of places. The loneliest place of all, hell. And that's why we, like this leper, need cleansing. And that's why what Jesus does for that leper is so relevant for us. And that's why what he tells the leper to do, go to the priest and offer the sacrifices, is so important for us. He's telling him how he can be cleansed. Don't you want to know how to be cleansed of your sin? Well, Leviticus chapter 14 tells us. Don't look at it now, but you can look at it later. Here's a little, very short summary of Leviticus 14 and the whole process of sacrifices that had to be offered for lepers whose leprosy has gone and who still needed to be cleansed. Here's what happened. First of all, the priest would go and meet the leper outside. Leper couldn't come in. So the priest went out to them outside the town, outside the camp. And they meet them in their wretchedness. Secondly, that's the first thing. Secondly, there has to be blood. has to be a sacrifice. And the priest would offer a sacrifice on behalf of the person who's being cleansed. And it's lengthy. So there's birds being sacrificed, and then finally the climax is a lamb being sacrificed as a sin offering. And the lamb was killed, and the priest got the blood from the lamb, and he dipped his fingers in the blood, and he would go to the person being cleansed, and he would get the blood of the lamb, and he'd put it on his earlobe, of his right ear. And then he'd get some more blood, and he'd put it on the right thumb of the person being cleansed. And then he'd get some more blood, and he'd put it on the big toe, the right big toe of the person being cleansed. Message: this person needs cleansed from head to toe because they've been infected with sin throughout. But the big message is that their cleansing required blood. Cleansing requires the death of another. And once that had happened, then they were free to go back into the community, back to their family. Happy, happy day. Fantastic. But they would remember that their cleansing had meant the death of another in their place. And Jesus wants that man to know that. And Jesus wants us to know that. Remember, the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, was designed by God to point people to a bigger reality that's coming. Point people to the Messiah who is to come. The law was like a shadow of the big reality that one day come. God's promise of a Savior and a salvation that is coming. That's the law, it's promise. Now remember what we've seen in recent weeks. Luke is recording something very important for us. What is Luke recording? Who was here last week? Who can remember our game of Shark Attack? Sorry, no game of Shark Attack this week, but we played Shark Attack, didn't we? And we were kind of guessing a word, and we got down to the head. So I nearly won, but we had a word. And that word is very important in Luke's gospel, because that's what Luke is recording for us. Who can remember the word? Erica. Shall we see if she's right? Yes. Fulfillment. Haribo's on its way. Fulfillment. That is what Luke is recording. And he's saying, here it is. Here's the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. Jesus, this is the reality that the shadow has been pointing to. And by dealing with the surface problem of the man's leprosy so powerfully, Jesus is showing that he has the power and the authority to deal with the deeper problem, the bigger problem of sin, and to clean us up for good. That's why he came, to seek and save the lost, to find the unclean and cleanse them through sacrifice. So he is the priest who comes out to us. He comes from inside to the outside. He left heaven and came to earth to meet us in our lostness, in our outsiderness. I don't know if that's a word. To meet us in our uncleanness, and to offer the sacrifice for our cleansing. Not a bird, not a lamb, but himself. To clean us up with his blood, with his death, and to take us from being outside God's kingdom to being on the inside. Jesus is powerful to save us. He can. And he is willing to save us. He wants to. Isn't that brilliant? It's good news for people like us, sinful people. The best news. I suppose that just leaves us with one question. Jesus can, Jesus wants to. Do we want him to save us? Do we want him to cleanse us? He's willing. Are we willing to receive his rescue? And just as we ponder that, we're going to think about our response to all this in a few moments' time as we share the Lord's Supper together. Lord's Supper is a wonderful gift to us from Jesus to his people. And it's a wonderful gift because it tells us how we are made clean. And it tells us that Jesus loves us. So the bread and the wine, they're a picture of Jesus' body given for us and his blood shed for us on the cross. In other words, they're a picture of him taking our place. Taking our place. That's how we're saved, isn't it? And that's what the cleansing of that man with leprosy shows us. Jesus changed places with him. I don't know if you noticed, but when Jesus touched that man, he made himself unclean. That's what happened when you touched someone with leprosy. You became unclean. Jesus made that man clean by taking his uncleanness. He changed places with him. And did you notice, this was the final question that we never got around to asking, but did you notice where Jesus is at the end of the passage? You notice where he is, Jesus?
His father praying.
Alone and praying. He's alone. It says, yeah, so he's alone and praying. He's in the lonely place. That's where Jesus is. I think Luke wants us to see that. Can you see what's happened? He's changed places with the leper. That's what's happened. That the leper, who was an outcast, an outsider, who had to live in the lonely places, has been cleansed and restored to the community. And he's got a new life now. But Jesus is out in the lonely place. The leper and Jesus have changed places. Outsiders brought in, and the chosen one is cast out. And that's how we're saved. That's how we enter God's family. That's how sinners are cleaned. When Jesus died, he became like a leper. He was taken outside, outside the city, outside the camp. And he was nailed to a wooden cross. And when he died on the cross, the Bible says that he became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So he was infected with our rebellion. He paid for it. And in return, he gives us his cleanness, his righteousness with God, his right relationship. Amazing, isn't it? He became unclean so that we might become clean. That was the only way that we could be clean, by Jesus taking our place. He suffered the ultimate loneliness when he died on the cross. He went to the ultimate lonely place, God-forsakenness, so that we might come to the happy place, fellowship with God, forever and ever and ever. We can be washed clean of our sin and our guilt, but only because Jesus died for us. Let's get that verse up on the screen again. Thanks, Graham. 1 John 1:7. Here's the heart of it. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from, what, a bit of sin? Some of it? Most of it? All of it. All of it. He paid it all. Absolutely brilliant. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever asked Jesus to make you clean? And if you haven't done that yet, why not? Is it because you don't think you need to be clean? Well, you do. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth isn't in us. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to clean you because you think that you can do it yourself. You can scrub yourself up and make yourself acceptable to God. Can't. Can't. Only Jesus' death can do that. Maybe you've never asked him because you think you're too dirty and you're beyond hope and there's just no hope for you. Well, you're not too dirty. Jesus' blood, his death, cleanses us, can cleanse us from all sin. Doesn't matter what you've done. There is forgiveness for that in Jesus. Maybe you've never asked him to clean you because you think he doesn't want to. Doesn't want to forgive someone like you. Doesn't want to have someone like you in his family. He does. He is willing. So let me encourage you, if you haven't done this yet, do what that leper did. Run to Jesus, our priest, our sacrifice, and say, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And you know what he'll say to you, don't you? I am willing. Be clean. Lots of us have done that. We're Christians. We're trusting Jesus, but we're still plagued with doubts as to whether the Lord really has cleansed us from all sin. You ever had nagging doubts like that? I certainly have. But this is where the Lord's Supper is a wonderful gift to us, reminding us that Jesus' promise is absolutely true and real. So if we're here this morning, we're feeling dirty because we've fallen into some sin, we're convicted of our guilt, let's remind ourselves that there is forgiveness. The wonderful good news proclaimed by the bread and the wine. When we put our trust in Jesus, we are forgiven and cleansed once and for all. All our sin is dealt with. He paid it all. Past, present, and future sin. All paid for by Jesus on the cross. His promise is true. You have salvation. You are clean forever. How marvelous. How wonderful. And we want to rejoice in that and celebrate that as we share the Lord's Supper together. When you see how powerful Jesus is to save and how willing he is to save, Why wouldn't we want to give our lives for him? Why wouldn't we want to follow him? Such a brilliant, brilliant, wonderful king. Let's pray. We're going to use these words of a confession as we prepare to share the Lord's Supper together. Maybe this will be the first time you're asking Jesus to forgive you. You're not yet a Christian. Use these words to entrust your life into his safekeeping and to ask him to clean you up. And of course, those of us who are Christian, we keep confessing our sins. Not because our relationship with God has been destroyed by our sin, but because our sin just spoils it a little bit. But it never ends it. But it's good for us to keep confessing our sins, knowing that we are forgiven. But it's only because Jesus died for us. So let's humble ourselves and let's have a moment of quiet, and then we'll pray these words together, and then we'll share the bread and the wine.